family day. We want you to come not just to hang around with us so we can get to know you, and not just to eat. But we do have, they did order a bunch of chicken carnival. They make the best fried chicken. Don't tell Colonel. I want you to have dinner, and then the ladies here make the desserts, you know, the health food that goes with that. But we want you to come. This morning in Bible class, we brought us to where all things and all. Because as much as I didn't like the trials, as much as I didn't like and so going through the trials, it doesn't love you, it's because to learn and to character. God had brought Israel through all kinds of trials, and through those trials, the nation that would bring up. Now, so that was the first lesson. To this lesson, we're going to look at verses 14 through 20. We're still in Joshua 24. That's like that far into your Bible, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, okay? And in the front part of your Bible, Joshua has just led Israel into the promised land. They've taken down Jericho, Ai, all these other nations, five kings of the north that attacked Gibeon, or for the south, excuse me, that attacked Gibeon. And then the five kings of the north that came in and they conquered the land and they parceled it out. And now as an old man, about 110 years old, Joshua brings all the people to Shechem and enters this covenant with them. And so we want to look at where we are and where they are. What decision was Joshua calling Israel to make? If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in verse 14. He says, "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Key thought. Here's what we need. Now, serve the Lord. Okay, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the forefathers served beyond the rivers or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so the people said, "Oh no, far be it from us." And those, they said, "We'll serve the Lord." He said, "Oh, you guys aren't able to." "No, no, no, we'll serve the Lord." "No, no, you guys aren't." "Well, we'll serve." He says, "Okay, three times you promise we're going to serve the Lord." You make any vows like that? I made a vow about 43 years ago. I said, "I do." Right? Did you make a vow like that? The only vow I made bigger than that was when I was born in Christ. Oh, and by the way, Brian, there's one error on your slide. Caroline is the next youngest member of this body of believers. We've got a four-day-old child that was baptized into Christ Wednesday. Todd. Glad to have Todd Sloan. Todd was baptized into Christ on Wednesday night. He walks better than Caroline, but but he's only 4 days in Christ. And I said, it's like taking a bath on the inside. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. He's your brother in Christ. Awesome fellow too. He's been through hard times. And the hard times that he hated brought him to Jesus. And the hard times you hated brought you to Jesus. Now, so Joshua is calling Israel to make a decision. Okay, guys. Who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Is it going to be God? Or do you want to sit there? You see, there's only one throne on your heart. And if you're sitting there, God can't. You have got to make the decision. Jesus is Lord. I will follow him with every bit, every part of my being. I will serve the Lord with all that I have. And that's what he's calling him to. You can serve this other stuff. Now, in the world around us, are we being called to other gods? Oh, no, no, we don't have idolatry in America. What's Colossians 3:5 says? Avoid what? Covetousness, which is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. In America, we're way good at that. We've got materialism down to a science. Okay? It's the stuff. You know, I have to have more stuff. He who dies with the most stuff wins. No. He who dies with the most stuff still dies. We need to be close to God. So he's calling Israel to make a decision. Now, what blessings result from that decision? If they decide to serve the Lord, then their children, and then their children, and then their children, and eventually Jesus Christ is going to come, because enough people in Israel kept, oh, there were times they really messed up, and the time they went through hard times. Good thing that's never happened in this congregation, right? Or in our lives. Oh, there have been times we messed up too. But they, if they would stay faithful and serve God, eventually, about 1,400 years later, Jesus would come. And he did. Now, what curses came when they didn't? This is so sad. Here in Joshua 24, turn over about four pages after that. If you go about four pages past that, you'll be in Judges chapter 2. Okay? And this is just shortly after what we read here in Joshua 24. Verse 10 and 11. He says, after that, that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Oh, no. Okay, Joshua, who lived to be 110 years old, okay, when he died and all the rest of that generation died, who walked across the Jordan River on dry ground, who walked around Jericho 7 days and shouted and blew on the trumpets and the walls came down, who served God faithfully, that whole generation, they died. And another generation grew up who didn't know the Lord. What had he just asked them to promise three times in Joshua 24? As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. What are you going to do? Are you going to serve the Lord? Oh yeah, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, then why didn't you teach your kids? The most important ministry we will ever, ever, ever have is to teach as many young people as we can that God is absolutely amazing and Jesus is absolutely wonderful. Amen. There is nothing we can ever do more important than that. 85% of the people who sit in church pews made their initial decision to follow Jesus Christ before they were 18 years old. Okay? So what should we be doing? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Unless you grown-ups are converted and become like little children, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. They made this promise, yeah, we're going to serve the Lord, but they didn't teach their kids. Now, if you didn't get taught, that doesn't leave you off the hook. You're responsible to learn whatever age you are. If you come to Christ when you're in your... We baptized a fellow 84 years old, brought him to Christ. Baptized him, baptized his wife. And wound up baptizing, I think, 24 or 26 of his children. One of his sons, Buck, became one of our elders in Ashland. Awesome, awesome family. But the thought is, whatever age you are, when you make a decision to follow Christ, you're responsible. And we're responsible to teach others, and especially the young. Teach your children. You want your children to be amazed by Jesus Christ. Because this world wants to tell you, nah, don't go there. Yes, go there. Okay? The world has made a religion into science. They call it evolution. Okay, that's not science. Never smelled like science. Okay? God made you. It doesn't make sense for stuff to get here by chance. We don't have computers big enough that can print out numbers fast enough to make that happen. You can't do that. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what is God calling us to make today? He said, I want you guys to make a decision. You can serve something else, or you can serve the Lord. You can serve something else, or you can serve the Lord. What you going to serve? Well, I want to be devoted to God, but I really want to do this first. One of these days, I'm going to get close to God. One of these days, I'm going to make a commitment to be totally devoted to God. One of these days, I'm going to start having daily Bible devotions with my wife. And one of these days, I'm going to start having a daily Bible reading time. One of these days, I'm going to start teaching my neighbor about Jesus. And one of these days, I'm going to start teaching Bible classes at church and teach the children. One of these days, I'm going to... I got a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on my calendar. I do not have a someday. Okay? Someday doesn't happen. It's got to be today if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart as in the days of provocation. Hebrews 3. Okay? Today is the day of salvation. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Okay? Today is the day we're supposed to be doing this. It's not one of these days. It's today. And so Joshua has those people up there. He says, okay, guys, today you have to make a decision. What's going to be your decision? And he said, oh yeah, we're going to serve the Lord. They said that three times, and then their kids, they didn't even teach about Jesus. What were they thinking? Now, how's our decision going to affect the choice of others? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. How's this one work? Kids, do as I say, not as... Does that ever work? That has never worked. Your example gets it done. They see in you a devotion to God. If you read in Acts 12, verse 1, it says that King Herod arrested all these people who belonged to the church. He had James put to death, and he thought he was going to kill Peter, but God and an angel had better plans and let him out. But the thought is, these guys belonged to the church. Well, I thought you belonged to Christ. Yes, you belong to Christ, but yes, you belong to the church. I will do whatever I can to build up the body of Christ, because it says in Ephesians 3 verse 21, it says, to him be glory for all ages, world without end. How? It says through the church and through Christ Jesus. It doesn't say through Christ and the church. It says through the church and Christ Jesus. You do whatever you can to build up the body of Christ. Jesus was here for 33 years. The church has been here for 2,000 almost. And hopefully we'll be here for until Jesus comes back. Do you belong to the church? He's asking us to make a commitment. Do we belong to the church? Now, when you make your decision to belong to Christ, to belong to his church, you do whatever you can to build it up, because herein is my Father glorified, he says in John 15, verse 8, that you bear much fruit. Do you want to glorify God? Well, yeah. He wants us to live for him. And as we tell others about him, we grow. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him who's the head in all things, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 15. And as we share that with others, God helps us to grow. Now, what blessings and what cursings come with the decision we make? As they're standing there at Shechem, they have Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Mount Ebal is the mount of cursing. Mount Gerizim is the mount of blessings. And earlier, back in chapter 8, he had half of Israel standing on that mountain. Half of them standing on that mountain, and the priests and an altar in the middle. And they would cry out, cursed are you if you do this and this. And they would say, cursed are we if we do this and this. And they'd say, blessed are you if you do this and this. And they go, blessed are we if you do this. And he made a covenant with them. All of Israel, they were there for that. When you make a decision, what's going to come with it? Blessings or curses, right? If you decide to serve God, blessings come. If you decide not to serve God, you won't go there. Okay? It's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And it's not just for me. It's for my kids. It's for my grandkids. It's not just for you. It's for all of the young people in this congregation. and the young people who are not yet in this congregation. We want them all to be close to God. Now, when Joshua had them make this promise, he wanted to get their attention. And so what he did, Joshua, he had a stone set up. And he said, I want you to look at this stone. Every word you promised, every word you promised, every word you promised is a word that this stone heard. And so he set a stone up for them to look at and to remember the promises they made before God. So I brought a stone in. Okay, Spencer. No. I was hoping to be able to do that. I'm getting wimpy in my old age. God hears every word you say. And sometimes we need something to make us remember. Every word we say, God hears it. That stone, you're going to make a promise to God. That stone hears every word of it. And God who made that hears every word of it. You make a promise to God. I made a vow to God, just like the one Todd made Wednesday evening. Todd said, yes, I will follow him all the days of my life. Just like it says in Romans 6. And he was buried with Christ by baptism into death and raised to walk in a new life. And every spiritual blessing you have in Christ, Todd's already got it. Because we didn't earn any of them. I've been preaching in June, it'll be 40 years I've been preaching. Not that long here, only 8. Okay? But the thought is, Todd already has all his blessings because he got them by grace. Because he surrendered his life to God. You made that vow. Now here's the question. Are you going to stay faithful to it? That stone, here's your promises. God, who made that stone, here's your promises. And in the next session, after lunch, we're going to look at what we're going to do, where we're going to go from here. And in the last part of Joshua, you'll see where he sets up that stone. But I want you to think about that. During our meal today, I want you to think. It's not just we want to have a good time and get to know people. But we're making a vow. We're going to serve God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want you to think of what God wants you to be and wants you to do in the years yet to come. Moses did some of his greatest work after he was 80. Because that's when they walked through the Red Sea. Okay? You do some of your greatest work, whatever you're at right now, wherever you are. You know, my Betsy Liebrand story, she was awesome. When her son-in-law was one of our elders, she had him bring in a rocking chair and a bunch of pillows, and she started teaching the preschool class in the women's baptismal changing room. We had one on each side there. And threw pillows on the floor, and she sat in a rocking chair and told them stories about Jesus. All right? Whatever age you are, can God use you to bless those around you and especially the next generation? Now, this morning, if you're not yet in Christ, you are called by God to follow Him all the days of your life. Are you willing to make the biggest commitment you could ever make? If you've already made that commitment and you haven't stayed true to it, do you need to do what the apostles, Paul, Peter, and John, asked Simon to do in Acts 8 and repent and pray God? Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.